This is WMUK's West Southwest Brief. I'm Gordon Evans. State Representative Larry Inman faces charges of soliciting a bribe and lying to the FBI. If convicted, the Republican lawmaker from the Traverse City area could be sentenced to 20 years in prison. Interlochen Public Radio reporter Max Johnston has been covering the case and will cover the trial if there is one. I spoke with Johnston on Thursday. On Friday, the Gongwer News Service reported that a judge granted a prosecution motion to delay the trial, which had been scheduled to start on August 6th. A pretrial hearing is now scheduled for August 10th. Max, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Gordon.
Let's go back and remind people if they have forgotten, or perhaps tell people if they have not followed this closely, how is it that State Representative Larry Inman ended up facing federal charges?
Yeah, so Larry Inman is accused of selling his vote on the prevailing wage law last year. So let me start off. These are just allegations at the time. But the Department of Justice says Inman offered to vote no on the law in exchange for campaign contributions from a lobbyist. They also allege that Inman lied to the FBI when they asked him about it. So Inman and his team have insisted that he's innocent of all charges, and he's refused calls, including from members of his own party, to resign.
Inman's attorneys have made a motion to dismiss the charges, saying the case isn't in the federal government's jurisdiction. Regarding that call for dismissal, why would this not be within the jurisdiction of the federal court?
Well, so it's kind of a complicated legal circumstance here. Basically, Inman's attorney argues that in order for the federal government, the Department of Justice, to handle this case, the alleged crimes need to involve interstate commerce, crossing state lines, essentially, with whatever the alleged crime is. In this case, Chris Cook, Inman's attorney, argues that Inman's vote on the prevailing wage law and any potential factors that factored into that vote happened in Michigan. This was a Michigan issue and thus should be handled by a Michigan court.
So if this case does end up going to trial, what are the main arguments that each side is going to make?
So I have an idea. Now, just to be clear, these aren't finished or entirely public yet, but in their indictment, the U.S. attorney says that Inman solicited campaign donations from a lobbyist via text message, and those texts will definitely be used as evidence against him. Chris Cook, Inman's attorney, says any campaign contributions that he received from this lobbyist were legal, and that his vote on the prevailing wage law was entirely separate from any money that he did, or in this case, did not get. Essentially, he's saying that Inman's no vote on and the lack of donations after it doesn't prove that any of his votes were bought.
So let's talk about those text messages for a moment. If people go to the IPR website, they can see some of them in some of the past stories on Larry Inman. This one stands out. We all need some help. And this is a text message that Larry Inman sent. Carpenters have been good to me. Where are the rest of the trades on checks? We have 12 people to block it. Person A said all 12 will get $30,000 each to help their campaigns. That did not happen. Goes on to say, I have heard most got $5,000, not $30,000. It's not worth losing assignments and staff for $5,000 in the end. And then towards the end of the text, get with all the trades by Monday. I would suggest doubling what you've given on Tuesday ASAP. We never had this discussion. To somebody who is on the outside looking in, those text messages don't sound good for Larry Inman. What's the defense?
So the defense isn't questioning that those text messages were sent. What they are saying is that they were taken out of context and were misrepresented to seem as if Inman were asking for a bribe. Now, a wrinkle in all of this is that Inman announced a few weeks ago that he's seeking the treatment for the long-term use of pain medication. And so his legal team is arguing that in order to be found guilty of these charges, that's extortion, soliciting a bribe, the prosecutors have to prove that Inman intended to solicit a bribe and lie to the FBI, especially when he was sending those text messages. But they say that his use of pain medication may have clouded his judgment, and his alleged actions, especially those texts, weren't done deliberately and may have been misinterpreted. So Chris Cook, Inman's attorney, sort of explained it like this.
You can't be accused of soliciting a bribe if you send out some text message. You don't even remember, for instance, that you sent that out, and you look at it and say, "What the heck? You know, what am I sending here?"
Okay, so take us through this defense just a little bit more. The relationship between Larry Inman's use of opioids and these text messages.
Yeah, so basically, the argument here is that this pain medication Larry Inman was taking may have clouded his judgment. So when he sent these text messages, he might have been on some pain pills, and he didn't realize how they were interpreted. In fact, Chris Cook, Inman's attorney, even said he may not remember sending these text messages. This defense is called a diminished capacity defense. So basically the argument is that you can't prove my client intentionally committed this crime because they had clouded or impaired judgment from an injury or a health problem. But in this case, we're talking about the long-term use of pain pills. Colin Miller is a professor of law at the University of South Carolina. This is how he sums it up.
It's simply saying that based upon my mental defect, I either didn't understand what I was doing or I couldn't have the requisite mental state that forms an element of the crime.
Miller says this strategy gets mixed results in the courtroom. This defense, diminished capacity, was famously used in the trial of Dan White. That's the man who shot and killed San Francisco politician and advocate Harvey Milk. And again, this is a totally different case, but Dan White's attorney argued that he was extremely depressed to the point where he couldn't have premeditated Harvey Milk's murder. They even used his diet of junk food and Twinkies as evidence of his diminished cognitive ability, and White did end up getting a reduced sentence.
Just so we're clear on the timeline, Larry Inman announced he was being treated for opioids after he was indicted on federal charges.
That's correct. Inman announced he was seeking treatment for the use of that pain medication last month. The indictment was filed a few months before that.
And in the statement announcing he was being treated, the word addiction was not used.
That's correct. They were keen that this was the long-term use of prescribed pain medication that Chris Cook told me went back about 3 years.
You mentioned earlier that there have been calls for Larry Inman to resign, including some of those coming from within the Republican Party. Is there any indication that he is actually considering resignation at this point?
I've put that question to Chris Cook, Inman's attorney, several times over the past few months, and they are insistent that he has no plans to resign. That's including the fact that he's seeking treatment and with this case proceeding. They want to go to trial. He says Inman wants his day in court to prove that he's innocent. And as it stands right now, no plans to resign or step down.
What is his status as a lawmaker? Are there things, for instance, has he lost committee assignments and things like that?
He has been removed from several of his committee assignments. I don't know if he still remains on any, but he's also hasn't really been around the state capitol since this indictment was announced. So he's staying in office, but it's really tough to say how much work he's actually getting done.
Max Johnson is a reporter with Interlock and Public Radio. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Links to IPR's coverage of the case involving State Representative Larry Inman can be found at WMUK.org. There you can also find WMUK's West Southwest podcast. It's available through the WMUK app, and you can subscribe through Apple Podcasts and by searching podcasts in Google Music. For WMUK, I'm Gordon Evans.